Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Mindful Coffee Company. Mindful Coffee is a locally owned micro roaster who believes in fresh roasted coffee beans in every single cup. They offer a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans while hand roasting every single bag. You can place your order online and have it shipped directly to your home by going to www.mindfulcoffeecompany.com. When ordering Mindful Coffee, please use the coupon code PODCAST for 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order when using the code PODCAST. Trust us when we say this is a cup of joe you will crave every morning. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, guys, fun episode today. I'm my co-host, my beloved, the old jalapeno Holly. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I know. Thanks for being my co-host today. It's kind of, you're probably my favorite co-host of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell Chad.
Okay.
And I have something special for you, Holly. I know I was telling you about who I wanted to interview, and I had a bunch of my friends in the brewing industry telling me that they wanted me to interview an Erica Palmer. And I had no idea who that was. And I reached out to an Erica Palmer of Red Rock, and this is who I have in front of you. Miss Erica Palmer, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
God, you are just, you just emanate energy and beauty, and I love it. And when I met you at Red Rock in passing, I was like, I need to know this person now. And I knew exactly who you were when you walked in without even knowing who you were, what you looked like.
Just
like,
wow.
It's fantastic. Well, then I remember my experience of meeting you is I was at Red Rock talking to Marissa. We're talking about beer nonsense and kombucha. I had just finished making a small batch over at Mountain West with Joel. And all of a sudden, we just feel people walk in. It was Kevin Davis and you and Tim Heron, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, that's Erica Palmer, isn't it? She's like, how the hell do you know? I don't know, but is it? She's like, yes. And I'm like, I need to meet her. And then I was talking to her, and then I looked over, and you walked in the door, and you and I just became immediate best friends, I feel like.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Thank you so much for taking the chance to come out here out of, you know, from Salt Lake all the way down here and to hang out with me
and my wife. Of course. Yes.
I told you
I'm super excited.
I had a good co-host.
You get both of us.
I always tell Holly about all my stories and all the people I get to meet, and just I'm just blown away with all the cool people. I'm like, you know what? Holly needs to be here for this. So that's why I brought her along. I'm like, Erica, I guarantee.
Oh, thank you. She is very lovely.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, Erica, let's get off the bat. I want to know, who is Erica? Before we talk about Red Rock, who's Erica? Where are you from? What do you do? Who are you?
Well, you know, I kind of started thinking about that. Basically, I'm just a little bit of a starlight that shines with connections to superstars in Utah and elsewhere with craft beer and friends. And I don't know, it's like super, I'm just a connector to all kinds of really cool things. I'm a mother of two beautiful boys. I'm a wife of the most amazing man, Jason Barrett. I'm a sales director over at Red Rock Brewing, a friend of a lot of people in this Utah brewing industry. Is that enough to sum it up? It's like who I am. I don't know.
Where'd you come from?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Salt Lake City, you're homebred, yeah. Huh?
Oh, mostly. So, I mean, in my teenage years, I was really just a wanderlust. So I left maybe when I was 16, lived in San Diego, ooh, came back and moved to Seattle for a couple of years, San Francisco, and then back to Utah. You know, it's always coming back to Utah, and then moved to New York, Lower East Side for a couple of years, and then came back in 93, and I haven't left.
So you always come back
to your roots.
Exactly. Yes.
Because Holly used to live in Southern California, and then I used to live on Long Island in New York. So, like, you get that. But Utah, you always come back to Utah.
Yeah. Like, you can't give up those mountains. They are my security blanket,
They really are in a fascinating way,
I know, right? I go places and I'm like, where are all the mountains? Like, I don't know.
They're calling them my mountains. Where are my mountains? Where are my mountains? You know, mm-hmm. I don't know where they are. I don't know where things are. Where's north and south? I don't know.
Exactly.
But in Utah, I know exactly where northwest, you know, east, south is. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yep.
I
great
like that.
City. I love it.
That's funny. Yeah. And then we do have the grid, which is to me, being in Texas, because I'm from South Texas originally, but being in Texas, there was Strawberry Lane next to Alfalfa Avenue. And it's not alphabetical. It's just like, there's no 1, 2, 3. It's just random named streets. I'm like, you could name it, you know, Pillow Street, and then you got Sofa Avenue. And it had no, there's not, I'm like, what? There's no, it doesn't make sense. You come to Utah, and I'm like, yeah, 100 is past 200. It's that simple. Mm-hmm, people are blown away about how, like, why hasn't this been adopted to by everyone?
Right. New York is very similar to that, too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, first, second. Anyway. Mm-hmm. first world problems.
Right. So that's where I learned how to bartend, was when I moved to New York. I was living there, kind of searching out my, to see if I could still model. And that was kind of crazy. Because everybody is beautiful. I mean, out there, there's like some serious competition. And when you are in the kind of entertainment, everyone works in a bar or a restaurant of some sort. And so I found myself learning how to bartend, which was really cool. And so when I came back to Salt Lake, Red Rock opened up like soon after. So I moved in like first quarter of 93. They opened up the first quarter of 94 in March. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
You've been there. I mean, you've been there and then you left Red Rock to go.
Yeah. So I was there for the first 4 years. So Red Rock Brewery or Downtown Pub started in 94. And I was there bartending for the first 4 years. It wasn't called craft beer then. It was just called microbrew. Right. That was one of four breweries in Utah. And on Second West, by the, you know, Second West was still a pretty shady area because that's, you know, that's where they wanted breweries, was like on the west side, away from, you know, to see. I think Squatters was the first one to be, the first one in Salt Lake, and then, and it's still kind of on the west side, right? So more and more were coming, like, it's like, nope, we're going to push you. We're going to keep pushing you. But now it's like kind of the heart of downtown, that Second West.
It's fascinating, actually. Right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And then I left in 98, and I was recruited by some folks over at Portacall. So there was a lot of articles that were being wrote about me. Ted Scheffler was working with City Weekly at the time, and he would come in and just watch me work, and he – I don't know. It was kind of cool, but still I'm, you know, like, what you want? What? Why are you talking about me? It's just bartending, right? So these two, some other folks from Portacall kind of like put a dangling carrot and it's like, hey, do you want to come speed bartend? And I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I do. So I went there for a few years. And then I had my baby, my first baby, Mason, which then took me kind of out of that bar scene, so to speak. So then I started working for Uinta. They started their first kind of like a little sandwich shop, and they didn't know how to really do it. So Steve Kufdenick, I'll keep connecting to, and it's all coming back, it all comes back to Red Rock. Steve Kufdenick was the VP of Uinta at the time, but he used to, when he moved here from back east, he would come to Red Rock Brewery and sit at the bar and bullshit and talk. And he was just a great person or whatever else. So that's how I met him, was like bartending there. So going to Uinta, I was there for just under a year. It was, I found it very hard to juggle baby and in that manager position. So Bayou opened just soon after that, 2002. So I started working at the Bayou, which Mark Alston, like, you know, he came in with this idea. He and Del Vance, who is now, who's the owner of Beer Hive. Those two started the Bayou, and they wanted to not just do craft beer, but bring in craft beer around the world. So that was an eye-opener. I've never had, you know, the first time I ever had a goose, a real goose lambic and things like this. At first, I'm like, oh, you know, this is tastes like a sheet just like swam through this beer. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, between Mark and Dell, we all got very educated about all of the beers, not just microbrew or craft beer. So I was there for 8.5 years, decided that I needed to maybe grow up a little bit and not bartend. It's like, get, you know, put my big girl panties on and like get a career or whatever else. Cause now then I had two kids. I was pregnant with my second behind the bar at the bar. It was a sight to see. It was pretty funny. because nobody could believe it. You know, this was like after smoking ban, you couldn't smoke in bars anymore. So I felt safe or whatever else, but there was a lot of heavy lifting. I had that baby like 2 days. Like I worked up to 2 days before I had my baby.
Wow.
Yeah. And Mark was like, no, you can't like be back behind this bar and you know, your water's going to break. I'm like, oh, it's not going to break. It's not going to break. It's a C-section. He was a huge baby. So anyway, so I decided to have a career change and I went to work for Young's Distributing, which is a liquor and wine company. And I was working with my friend Al Vinnie. Connection back to Red Rock again, because he was also a bartender at Red Rock.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he gave me a chance to learn how to be a liquor rep. Very influential in my sales tactics of whatever I've learned. I've learned a lot from Al. And that didn't last very long because it just didn't sync with me. It's like 23 different varieties of vodka. Right. There was a time when, like I was supposed to push bubblegum vodka. I'm like, I just can't do it. That's just like, that is not me.
Bubblegum vodka.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. It was gross. Anyway. So I was working with Young's, connect some dots to my husband. He became then just a friend. He was one of my clients up at Stein Erickson Lodge and we reconnected. He used to do catering for us at Red Rock Brewing for employee parties. So another connection that goes right back to Red Rock. We soon, you know, he was married at the time and I wasn't really in any relationships or whatever else. So just trying to deal with children, right? And keep sane. So like years later I went back. I was managing and bartending in a place in Park City at the top of Main Street. It's no longer there, but it was called Sidecar. And then, you know, during Sundance, at one time he came in and I noticed he didn't have a ring on again. I'm like, wow, okay. All right, so he might be just available or whatever else. And he came in and he's like trying to talk to me. I had broken my arm from a fall from a bar stool, believe it or not. I was actually trying to turn on a TV, not because I was drunk. he came in and I was waiting for him to like ask me out and he didn't. And I'm like, what the hell? It's like, okay, whatever. Because I felt there was a connection there, right? Few months later, I went back to the bayou to side bartend, and I was hostessing. I was just kind of and not necessarily a rut, but just haven't figured out what I wanted to be. He came in, and I asked him, I'm like, hey, man, are you following me? Just to strike up a conversation, like, come, I'm right here. Start, like, ask me out.
The signs are there.
Yeah, and he's like, no, but... Now I am.
Damn. Yeah.
So now it's 10 years. We've been together dating and we're now married. For this year will be 4 years, but it's kind of cool. Pretty cool there. After I was still at it. Yeah. So I figured out where I wanted to go and Red Rock was opening up their new space at Fashion Place.
Okay.
I thought, oh, hey. I know what they're all about. I'd love to like see what's happening. You know, maybe I start bartending there during the day or something where, you know, you just do what you know how to do without thinking about it. Right. So anyway, so I started bartending there and it wasn't, but maybe 2 or 3 months that I started thinking they started their production brewery.
Ah.
So Brew House 2. And I started thinking, it's like, you know, Elefino was just coming up. They had a couple of other brands out there that were being sold at DABC level, but nobody pushing their brand. So I struck up a conversation with Bob Jensen, the owner, and I said, hey, you know what? You know what you need? You know what Red Rock needs? Red Rock needs a salesperson to push sales into other bars and DABC and so forth. And so we sat there and constructed a way for that job to happen. No so way. we created
You created your job.
Yes.
Oh my God. Ooh.
Yeah. So that started happening and it happened really fast. Because I was in the bartending industry and knew all the bartenders and or managers or you know, all those folks, it was really quite interesting how we, you know, how I could say it's like, hey, just try this Elefino, blah, 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 blah. You know, it was one of two double IPAs at the time. I think Hop Rising was one of the first, and then there was Detour and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's like, who doesn't love a baby elephant on a hop?
Exactly. You know? Thank you.
Right. So that's where that was for the first, I guess it would be the second time that I was with Red Rock. I mean, creating that, yeah, so second time. I was there for 4 years, and I felt a little overwhelmed because Red Rock is so small. Everybody wears, like, multiple different hats. And I didn't have really good boundaries for myself to take on or not take on some things. So I felt a little bit overwhelmed or whatever else. So I chose to leave after 4 years. But I still wanted to sell beer, and I felt there was so much more for me to understand and to learn in craft beer. So then I had the opportunity to go work for Wasatch and Squatters,
cool,
which was really cool because talk about freaking rock stars or superstars, Greg Scherf. You know, he was the founder of Wasatch Brewery in 1980s. I should know this, but skips my mind now, but still, it's like it's now 33 years old. He was the man that brought craft beer or microbrew to Salt Lake City from Milwaukee to, it's like now, you know, now you see it all over 19 states. But for Utah, it's like we didn't have beer, we didn't have brew pubs, mm-hmm. It was illegal, so he made it legal. He helped change that law. Yeah, he helped change that law. So he is definitely the pioneer of craft beer in Utah. So the opportunity to work under him, shoot, and like all the brewers there, even just like event staff, like you name it. There's like this whole crew of people like knew what they were doing, and they were doing it like a well-oiled machine. And I just felt like I had to learn everything about all this. How does this work? So I had a little bit of experience with, obviously, with sales, events, because I was doing all those types of things, but I didn't really understand marketing as well, and or the actual brewing, because I wasn't brewing at the time with Red Rock. I mean, I understand the how to, but I didn't do it myself. Mm. Anyway, so incredible people there for 5 years. I got to learn boatload. So starting in sales, and then I worked in from sales, and I wanted to learn more about selling. So it became chains. So chains is selling into the grocery stores, right?
Okay,
so
yeah,
there's an account manager for that. There was an opportunity. I went for it and it advanced. So at this point in time, Canarchy became Canarchy. So that's like the seven breweries that came together, Fireman Capital. So there's Oscar Blues, there's Cigar City, there's, I can't believe I'm like totally forgetting all these places, but still there are seven, and Wasatch and Squatters was one of them. So I had the opportunity to travel all over with our brands. And when Chains was there, I felt that I wasn't the best fit. So another opportunity came open as a brand manager. So then I could just simply focus on Wasatch and Squatters brands and then travel and tell all the other folks in these other 19 states about these two brands. So it was really more me trying to focus and get these brands out there and tell the story of Wasatch and Squatters, which was less overwhelming than seven different breweries in Canarchy, right? But amazing folks in the Canarchy. I really got to learn a lot from either chains, brand management, things like this, putting numbers together, understanding the numbers story, because I was never, I'm still not a really good numbers gal, by the way. But they taught me that. And with all that being said, again, it's like I felt like I needed to do something, but go small, like change that focus and go smaller and smaller. Yeah. So an opportunity, I got a few phone calls and said, hey, Red Rock is hiring. I'm like, well, I don't know. Do I really want to go back for the third time? Just like, how do I make, you know, make sure that my boundaries are met? Their, you know, what their intentions for me, right, and where do they want to go, kind of thing. Anyway, so we sat and talked, and they offered me a job that I really just couldn't pass up. It's like everything I really wanted is to focus on very local, hyper local, and so here I am doing the same thing. So I came back in November of 2019, so it'll be 2 years this November.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
So you like start at Red Rock.
Yeah.
And came all the way back to Red Rock.
Uh-huh.
All said and done. That's so, well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And it still could take you who knows where and then come back for Red Rock a fourth time. Who knows?
Oh, shoot. Man, I'm so old. I'm not leaving this way. I can't leave this time because I'm just too old for that.
Oh, stop. Huh. Age is just how you feel, right?
Yeah.
But that's super cool. So you brought some Red Rock beers.
I certainly did.
So you have a couple. Which ones do you have in front of us?
I have the Part of Bloom. I have the Backdoor Saison Rosé, and I have the Pink Boots beer called 9 to 5. That was my tribute to Dolly Parton.
Oh, my God. I never knew that.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. I said we do the Pink Boots one.
Okay.
Because I would like to sneak into the Pink Boots conversation.
Okay.
So as you mentioned in your story that you didn't necessarily know about brewing. So did you ever get behind...
Oh, absolutely.
Brew, during that time, the first or second time you were at Red Rock or any in Squatters and Wasatch?
More in with Wasatch and Squatters. I got to make my bride ale, which was really cool. So that hence the bride ale, that's where it came from. I think it is like the tale is when women were getting married or where the way that you found your partner. For women, is the women brewed the beer. So if they made a good beer, they'd make a great wife.
So Holly, I have an adventure for you.
Right? So that was really kind of like where I started. Not just there, but my husband, after 2 years of dating, he built a homebrew system for me. With the help of some of the folks at Wasatch and Squatters, they had some old kegs and we turned that into a 3-tiered, 5 or 10 gallon.
That's so cool.
So it was really cool. So we learned, at home how to brew beer, whole grain, not using the syrups and things like that. Yeah. So it was trial and error. Let me tell you, there is some really crappy beer that I've made, you know, but yeah. And then since then, it's like really my first, so we made the bride ale, and then when Squatters turned 30 a few years back, we collectively, the sales and marketing team got together and was like, how do we celebrate 30 years? It's like, how about we grab our community of other breweries and do a collaboration? I'm like, ooh, I'm in. I want to brew with Chris Harlan. Chris Harlan is our head brewer down at the downtown pub. And they're like, okay, run with it. I'm like, all right, Chris, hey, this is going to go down. We're having a big festival, blah, blah, blah. But I want to brew a beer with you. And he's like, cool. What are you thinking? He's like, this is the ingredients I have right now. He had some hibiscus. He had, what else did he have? He's always masterminding like all kinds of cool stuff, but it's Saison. I'm like, ooh, well, let's do that. Anyway, he's like, okay, let's think about that and let's come back and come to the meeting of mind of what this beer might be. Well, we both were looking at the same exact recipe, and it was the Saison Rosé. So these people were starting to put wine in their beer.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So let's not get off track. We'll drink that in just a second. But here is the Pink Boots beer. This is this year's blend.
Oh, so 2021.
2021.
Fantastic. Yep. And are you part of the Pink Boots?
I sure am.
Fantastic. And how long have you been part of the Pink Boots?
Since coming back to, well, I guess I was still part of Pink Boots with Wasatch and Squatters, but I was extremely busy and never in town. So now I have a little bit more time. So just over a year, I guess, you know. It's amazing women. Oh. The most amazing women.
I always saw. I can't talk enough about them because I interviewed them and it was blew my mind. I sat there and I had five women in the Pink Boots. I had Julia, who started the Utah chapter,
right,
and the rest of them are in the current chapter. And I just sat there just in awe, like I feel like I'm in a room of superstars, like you were saying.
Absolutely.
And so every time I see them, we're always giving each other hugs. Or it's like catching up. Like we've been friends for years and years. And I remember, we went to Ogden to go hang out. We did the beard bus that takes you around the tour up there. And I messaged Jackie, I'm like, hey, we're going to be at Roosters. You should meet us up there. She's like, I'll be there. So I remember when I was talking to someone else and I hear, David, Jackie. And we ran for each other, hug each other. And I'm like, I need you to meet my wife. And then she's like, you have nothing but cool people around you. I'm like, because we got to emanate that beauty, right? Because you do as well. She's like, I'll take you for a tour. And we went for the tour. And everyone's like, Jackie's the coolest. I'm like, right? I told you. Like, I don't hang out with stupid or dumb people. I got with people that negative vibes. I want good people in my life. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to introduce you to someone who's shitty.
Right.
And so I'm just like, these Pink Boots, every time I got the interviewed Hans Kombucha.
Nice.
And so I'm like, ladies, are you a part of the Pink Boots yet? And they go, what's this? Let me educate you real quick.
Right.
Because I feel like it needs to be more of an out there subject. People need to know about it. And it's super important. And I think it's awesome. And I think Pink Boots beer should be a bigger thing every year. I really do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So were you able to brew this one at
Red Rock? Yes. So I brewed not only just myself, Marissa and Aida. She's our CFO. So we got some of the ladies at our downtown brew pub with Chris Harlan, and we came up with this. Chris and I really sat down and thought about what the hops look like. We smelled them, and I really love this really nice floral bouquet that so much so that I wanted to do another saison, but we split away from there, and this is a Belgian golden with some Belgian yeast strains, but again I wanted to do something with wine because I love that must. So started thinking about it, but it was like it had to be a 5% beer. So that makes it a little difficult when you're putting wine into beer. So I decided to just soak some oak spirals, right? So give it some age. And then we put some peach in there. So have a try.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. Cheers, my
cheers,
friends. Oh my God, I'm excited.
You can smell peachy. It's effervescent. It's like, oh.
Very refreshing.
Oh my, yeah. A little bubbly champagne yeast. So it gets those bubbles right on your, a little tingle.
Ooh.
Like this is perfect for like a summer night. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Summer day too.
Yes.
So that we named it 9 to 5. Just a little shout out to Miss Dolly Parton, you know, because she's always empowering women.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I couldn't stop singing this stupid song, too. All day.
It's playing in the brewery the whole time in the house. I love how beautiful and clean it tastes. Like, I love how it reminds me of being outside and gardening for some reason.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this reminds me of spring, springtime.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. It's really nice, kind of green almost.
It's
very refreshing.
Did you say you use champagne yeast? Is that what you said? Fascinating.
Mm.
I love this. Yeah. I love the Pink Boots Society for like everything that they stand for. I'm all about the women empowerment and the women, you know, taking charge of, you know, an industry that was usually by men. And they're taking it back. Like you said, the women used to brew the beer. Now they're taking it back. And I love that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's challenging. Thankfully, you know, in my 20 plus years, I really haven't had any bad experiences, but that's not to say that there's a lot of bad experiences out there. So, you know, but I love the group of women that we can stand together. We can support each other when someone's down. So cheers to the pink boots, ladies.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm okay with this. Well, I think with the pink boots, it's like, because for me, and I love talking about this, it's the craft beer community in Utah is, the best way I can put it is a brotherhood, or it's just a community, right? I'm trying to, when I say brotherhood, I come back to community because it understands like it's a tight-knit group. But what the pink boots, I think they do is, because I think of my, like Julia is my equal. I mean, I ask Julia for questions all the time. Like, trust me, I'm like, Julia, teach me everything, right? And so I don't see, you know, I just like how in the pink boots, like a little, it's just even tighter knit, but within our circle, we respect and be like, we get it. It's like, that's like the, when you have that best friend, you speak a language without looking at each other and you know it. That's what the, I think the pink boots are like that.
Yes.
They look at each other like, right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What was that? But I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And Erica, I know you're passionate about beer.
Yes.
Is there anything else you're passionate about?
My garden.
I love that.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen some, like, I'm out on my deck all the time. So my husband is the mastermind for building and planting and doing the things. Which I love, I get to maintain it and sit in my fancy little oasis. So we grow hops. We grow three different types of grapes. I have Chardonnay grapes. I have Pinot Noir. And I also have Concord grape, which, you know, just for kid drinks, you know, nothing crazy. But yeah, so we have a little oasis in our backyard with, you know, got 11 hennies, some chickens, a little ecosystem back there. We have some beer, some beehives.
Beehives, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And then a koi pond. So the bees drink from the koi pond. And we use the compost for the garden.
My God.
Yeah. So it's really quite like, I spend all my time. Winter, I swear to God, that is my room.
That's fine. Yeah. And Jason helped you facilitate a way to make this happen, right?
Oh, he built it all, man. This man is like, when I say he's incredible, it's like even our drip system, like this kind of stuff. He built this. He built all the, there's a door theme, believe it or not, in our house, in our backyard. He works up at Stein Erickson Lodge, and they were getting rid of like front doors. And there are thick, nice, beautiful wood doors. It's like, oh, okay, I think I can reclaim these. So we did. We built a door fence.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Some of the boxes are made out of the doors. I have a door wall. Just like different pieces and slices that we've put up on the wall. So it's pretty kind of cool.
I need to come over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This sounds like a great place to have brunch and drink coffee and read a book.
Beer.
Yeah. I was thinking at the beginning of the day and work away to the beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but this looks like Holly's paradise because also Holly and I want a wiener dog, and you have a wiener dog?
I have two.
Love it.
Yes. So I have the teeny weenie's not mine. It's my stepson's, Yuki. She's a cute little thing. And then there's little Mr. Milo, who's stolen my heart. I wish I could show you viewers, but he sleeps in my bed, like in between my husband and I, and he gets up and he has the sheets right up against his neck and his little paws out. And I wake up like to this face every day, which makes it very difficult to get out of bed because he's such a cuddle bug. He's a lover. I have to show you a picture because he's crazy.
I love this. I love it so much. While you're looking for that, I'm thinking, you have the garden, right?
Yeah.
It's a work in progress. Is it always growing? Is it always continuing?
Yes. So every year, you know, we try to do, you know, what we want to do. My husband is like, he and his aunt Kay, they came over and they can the shit out of everything. So I've got not fresh, but canned stuff from my garden. So there's, whether it be from the peppers, the salsa that we make, the tomatoes that we have, the cucumbers for pickles, the honey that we do, you know, yeah. So, I mean, apocalypse, if it should ever happen, you know, the zombie apocalypse, come to my house.
We know where to go.
Yeah, yeah. We've got all the
self-sustaining.
Things.
Self-sustaining. I love
that.
Yeah,
we've got
so
all the
much.
Things. But this year, we really couldn't add any more, so to speak. So we went up. And by that, I mean some of our... My incredible husband, built an arbor over... We have a big pit as well. So it's a barbacoa. It's about 4 feet deep and six okay. feet wide. If I go missing there, I will be there. So over this, and let me see if I can find this really quick. It shouldn't be hard to find what he did here. But we really couldn't expand because we've used every inch of the backyard.
Really,
so yeah. Now it's going up. So our garden is growing up.
I love that.
Yeah. Got some pipes over. So a picture we're looking at is like got some pipes over with mm-hmm. some greenery all over.
Right. And so in the sand was covered over, there's a 1/4 inch thick still plate. So underneath there is where that pit is. So we'll roast whole animals and
that's cool.
Yeah.
So we have luau's. We have luau's at your house.
Basically. Oh yeah. Kahlua pig.
We're going over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
That's really cool.
Yeah. The front yard. I like to keep my backyard a secret. The front yard looks like everybody else is on on our street. Right?
I told Holly I want to desiccate my front yard because then the drought thing wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
But then in the backyard, it's my sacred
yeah,
spot. Exactly. Zen. That's what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
I like
mm-hmm.
that. So Erica, give me the your favorite beer memory in the Pink Boots.
Mm.
While we're still drinking the last of this beer.
Pink Boots memory.
Or one that just comes to your mind right off the bat.
I really don't have one right off the bat. I mean, I really have to think. Oh my God, my head. Really, I think it's just. How about this one? This happened like maybe a few weeks ago. It was just an impromptu get together at Mountain West Garden, and just a few of us girls like showed up for kind of like an afternoon cocktail or cider. So I got to see Jamie. I got to see Becca. I got to see Jenny Schaefer. I got to see Lauren and finally touch them again, right? So we've had a lot of Zoom calls and things like this. Like, so it was like kind of like the coolest thing. And just being able to touch these gals again, you know, being in tune, being funny. That's part of the exciting thing is like you said, is like having immediate, not only just like working for something, but actually having a cohesive like want and friendship to do all these things, right?
Yeah.
To
that
lift
bond
up.
Is just you yeah. can't. It's you can't get rid of. It's just
right.
there. That
right.
energy's there. Favorite beer memory with Jason.
Mm. Oh God. Let's see. There are so many.
I want to hear more about
actually,
this.
Actually, I probably can't tell you about this. He's one of two people that I've known that has gotten kicked out of GABF, the Great American Beer Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny. But yeah, I was working with Wasatch and Squatters, and I was like, I had my shift pouring beer at the GABF, and a security guy came up to me and said, "Hey, are you Erica?" I said, "Depends who's asking."
You
know, because he was a security guy. Right. I'm like, why? I didn't do it.
Exactly.
Like, I didn't
Your
do it.
I'm
like, it's like immediately thinking about what the hell I did yesterday. I'm like, oh shit, what did I do?
How drunk did I get?
Yeah, right. And it's like, well, I got your husband over here in the back here. And he's like, we asked him for his ID. And he pulled out his concealed weapons permit. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. It's like, how about if I walk over there and ask him? Because now they have to frisk him. Mm. Of course, he doesn't have anything on him because we flew, right? Anyway, so we got escorted out. And so that was fun. I mean, it's not the best memory, but it was certainly
funny.
Yeah. There are so many. There are so many. You know, 1 year, shoot. Like... Just drinking. I mean, I don't know. It's like I have so many great memories. Not only just memories, but we continue to make those memories drinking beer together. Going to the Idaho Beer Festival, the NABA. Just having a lot of fun. shoot, there's not just one. I mean,
there's multiples, right?
There's so many.
Well, this gives us a taste of like what kind of memories you have. I like that though. You know what I mean? There's so many. I mean, you can't sit here and just, I bet you could sit here for probably an hour and tell me all these stories about, you know, bear memories.
Right.
But that one kind of like, I love how you go to that one because it shows the character of like, we had a good time. We laughed about it. And I guarantee you guys joke about it afterwards, don't you?
Oh, all the time. I mean, you know, it's like.
Remember that one time?
Yeah. I mean, humility is a thing, right?
Yeah.
And we all have to experience it and actually, like, own it.
Yeah.
Some people don't. And my husband does with, like, great, like, you know, not with, he just gets it. He's like, yeah, I did that. That was pretty fucked up. But, you know, but yeah, still. But, you know, the people there were awesome. They're, you know, they were saying, it's like, Mr. Barron, it's like, we'll see you tomorrow. You can't come back today. It's like, ah. And that, oh, and the best part was that we were in the very, very back, and we got the walk of shame all the way through.
Escort walk of shame.
Escort with six people. And he was like, hey, I want to try. I'm like, yeah, no, you can't try that.
I love this story. I really do. Yeah. It paints a picture. I've met Jason, so it paints a picture of him, and I love this because I want to be around that. I love it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you one more question before I go on a quick bathroom break. But what's a particular project that you've had at Red Rock that you are proud of, that you've been a part of?
Oh, boy. Particular project. There are, again, I have... a lot of different, like, projects, so to speak. Like I said, it's like we do wear many hats and things like this. So how about let's talk about pumpkin chocolate chip last year.
Oh.
So during COVID or whatever, you know, it's like we are always looking for a way for it's like innovation at the brewery. Like how do we keep – people's interest in doing these things. And so a problem arose and it was like, what the heck was it about? It was really about like, hey, we need to come up with a great idea or something like this. And I was running a route at that time, which means delivering kegs and doing all the things, delivering to grocery stores and things like this. Again, like I said, many hats, so I can fill like any position. Well, I can't brew on the big system, but anyway. So an idea, somebody asked me, and it's like, hey, you know, it's like this is what we need to do. What do you think about this? And I said, give me just a few minutes, let me think about this. And I, you know, while driving, sometimes it's very meditative for me to get into my own head and start thinking creatively or numbers wise. How do I do this? How do I solve this problem? Well, I solve the problem by saying, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this beer for Harmon's and Harmon's only. They're a very good partner of ours. They have stuck around with Red Rock since, you know, the beginning of them distributing into grocery stores. And so I thought, I was like, hey, you know what? It's like, we're going to make an exclusive beer for them. This is in August. I'm like, okay, and this is how we're going to have to execute it. We've got 9 weeks to come up with this, guys. They're like, what? It's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, we're going to execute this in October. So actually, get this beer out in September. Now, I literally only had 9 weeks. And I said, okay, this is it. Here's the idea that I had. I went to Harmon's and got the pumpkin chocolate chip cookies because those are like so to good. Die for. Thank God they have them like year round.
I know, right? Uh-huh. Start riots.
And I'm not a huge pumpkin spice gal, right? I'm not that basic bitch. Okay. But anyway, so I brought those cookies and I brought them to the brewers. I'm like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is the beer that I want to make. Is this possible? Well, sure. Yeah. And I'm like, no. Like 9 weeks. They're like, well, we need a label. I'm like, done. I'm on the label thing. Went next door to my office, sat there with my designer, did not let her leave until we had a concept. We had the concept. We put it through TTB. I'm like, boys, can you do this? And they're like, hell yeah, we can. So we made it a batch. I'm like, that's it. Let's do it. Called the guy from Harmon's. I'm like, hey, man, I got this pitch for you. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, how about this pumpkin chocolate chip cookie beer, the stout. He's like, what? I'm like, for Halloween, for October. He was like, okay, tell me more. I'm like, hey, it's just for you. Da 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 da. He's like, I'm in. I'm like, okay. I'm like, and then the second thought was like, oh shit, I didn't tell the owner. I'm like, oh no. Like, okay, let's backtrack a little bit. I'm like, okay. It's like ask for forgiveness kind of thing, right? So that's what I did. I'm like, hey, Bob, I just pitched this idea and we got to execute it now because he said yes. He was like, oh no, that's great. That's great. Do it, do it, do it. You know, it's like, we love this about you. It's like, do it, do it, do it. So we did. Come to find out, we made this beer. Sold out in 10 days out of our warehouse. It was sold out of Harmon's before Halloween. And there was a few of those stores that didn't even get it because they were waiting. I'm like, yo, no. You want it? You got to get it now. And it was gone.
No way. So,
success, right? Mm-hmm. In like a very creative panic moment, if you will, right? You can make things happen. You just
love that story.
Yeah, so great. We're going to make it again.
Obviously, now you're going to have to, right?
Now we have to pre-order everything.
Right. No, and I got the inside scoop. Like, yeah, there was a few of those stores. I'm like, okay, we're doing it again. It's like, oh, I want a pallet. I'm like, done.
I'll make it happen.
I'll make it happen.
Good, so good job. Yeah. Kudos to you.
Yeah, we're making shit.
I like that. Well, on that note, I need to go to the restroom. I don't know about you guys, but we'll take a little quick break. That's
okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
Tastemasters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code Tastemasters, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code Tastemasters upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help.
One. All right, boys and gals, we're back. And Eric, I'm going to hit you with a question right off the bat.
Okay.
What's the most, the position you're in now is the sales representative in Red Rock, correct?
Correct.
What's the most you've learned from that position?
Right now, what I'm learning about is self-distributing. That had never been in my wheelhouse before. So managing other distributors before, and now I'm just like trying to manage myself and three delivery guys. And, you know, it's extremely hard for us because we are very small. So we deliver. Mm-hmm. We're the delivery guy. We're your sales guy. You know, mm-hmm. So that is new to me, and how to do it and the right way and how much can we grow? Obviously being the sales director, it's like, I need to continue to sell more beer. Yeah. Right. So it's like, okay, manpower or beer power. It's like all these things. So I work really closely with Kevin Davis on production and Andrew Ronaldo, who also is the, in production, and he kind of pinpoints like when we need beer and things like this. And the three of us work really close together that way, making sure that happens and how to execute. You know, I work again with Kevin on executing on timelines of like when I need this beer to be in grocery stores. So it's really trial and error. Not so much error, thank goodness. That's me knocking on wood. That is where I'm learning the most.
That's beautiful. I like that.
Yeah. It's tough. And
with Red Rock, do you have any other goals with Red Rock or like personal life goals that you have?
Oh, I always have personal life goals. My personal life goal is to be a lady of luxury and leisure.
I love that.
Yeah. But
same.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want to do. That's who I am. But for Red Rock, I mean, really is like growing us at a pace that we can grow. You know, being 26 years or nearly 27 years, right? We have a very small footprint. We don't want to own Utah. We don't need to be that big. What we want to do is continue to like literally make handcrafted beer. Each one of these beers that you taste is like, it's been touched by a couple of people before it gets to you. Every hand, there's no like huge machinery that goes on. It's not self-automated. We actually do a lot of like getting in and, you know, swirling that mash tun, that doesn't happen everywhere. And I like that about who we are. And I want to be able to continue to do that, but grow a little bit and have some innovation always about like just new beer. You know, there's so many new experiences out there that we haven't tried. And maybe it's like bringing back an old beer, like ESB. It's like extra special bitter that like fell off the cliff somewhere. I'm not sure where it happened, but I think about either. It, you know, like, hi, you know, somebody was asking me, it's like, bring that back. That was a really good, I'm like, well, you might like it, but maybe not everybody, yeah. Maybe not everybody is ready for that beer to come back because like, look, so many stinking IPAs. I'm like, wow. All right.
Over the top. Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over the top. Yeah. And it has a certain place, but we wouldn't want to just have our own little niche of cool things and not huge by any means. Like I said, it's like, we're not there to conquer Utah or mm-hmm. the world or anything yeah. like that, but just to do what we do well and do more of it.
I like mm-hmm. that. So going back to that one, you had the Saison. The
oh, Rosé. Yes.
You're okay. talking about that. And so this is the collab you did then?
Yes. So this actually isn't the collab. That was done a few years ago. But during last year, we were also thinking about our pub. Now, our pub, we have a brewery there as well. It's a little 10, you know, it's a little 10 barrel thing there when Chris Harlan is the brewer there. And we had a license that we were not utilizing. Oh. So pack five means that anything that you brew, you can sell if you package it. So he and Michael Drews came up with a concept to come up with a series for him, like showcasing his like fancy beers that he does. You'll taste them at our pubs as a specialty or whatever else, but this gives him some time to, or a chance to get it out to folks to drink at home.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
I like that, as you should, right? You yeah. taste something great in the restaurant or the pub and like, I want to take this home.
Right.
Boom.
So this is the same recipe, so to speak. Oops. That we did as our collab with Wasatch and for Squatter's 30th anniversary. This is the Backdoor Saison Rosé L. So again, it's a saison. It has hibiscus, raspberry, and my brain. I think that's pretty much it.
And I love that lovely pink color.
Yeah,
so pretty,
it's gorgeous. Oh, I'm sorry. And then Chardonnay must.
Oh, gotcha.
Right. So again with the wine. But this time, you know, because we didn't have to be 5% on draft, so Chris, you know, obviously changed it up a little bit and this became like a 6.9 ABV. So there's probably, you know, there's a little bit more wine must that's involved in this beer.
I love that nose.
Oh my gosh.
So here's a concept. Yeah. And I know I have a couple of my friends are going to roll their eyes when I say this, but my dear friends, Melissa Diaz, we joke about doing craft beer candles. And I told Mikey this last time. I was like, hey, Mikey, I'm going to do this. He's like, hey, I got a slogan for you and everything. So we talked about it. And I'm right here. I'm smelling this. And I'm like, I want to light this up. Put this in the front room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Holly, would you let me do that?
Of course.
Ooh, my God.
So it's a beautiful, it's not too pinky here, you know. Just that hibiscus gives it a nice color as well as that dry. You get some of that raspberry. in there. And again, it's like those like little tiny bubbles that just like makes my tongue happy.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that little fizz when you take a sip of it, mm-hmm. the little bubbles.
So it's very complicated, right? So you get a fruitiness up in your face. Like you get some of that raspberry. So there's that sweetness. Then you get to...
It's very wine-esque, actually, right. Rosé-esque.
Right. So when you're drinking it, it's like you just have to wait just for the moment, and then all of a sudden that wine comes in. So you're getting that Chardonnay. You're getting that Chardonnay flavor afterwards, and then it just dries out with that hibiscus, leaving you with a dry mouth. Not a dry mouth, but drier palate keeps you wanting more.
Oh, I keep reaching for my glass. Yeah. Like, oh, here we go. Yeah. my mind and arm just work in unison more. But I love that it keeps going. Mm-hmm. Like it's still
it's layers, right? Layers and layers.
When you say complex, yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, Holly, what do you think about that? Fascinating.
Oh, it's delicious. I'm like, I could drink this every night.
Yeah, me too.
Sold.
We'll have to have Chris make it again.
I gotta meet Chris. I gotta know who makes this now. I've never met Chris.
You need to meet Chris.
God damn. Interesting.
So he's not only a brewer, but he's an artist.
Did he draw the label?
He did draw the label. He did Elefino.
Oh.
So that's his elephant. He did Part of Bloom.
Fascinating.
Yep.
Is this his eyes and the?
Yes, that's him peeping out. This is his back door or side door.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not really in the back. It's on the side. But yeah, so he's just an amazing artist, not only with his pen, you know, with his mediums of watercolors or whatever else, but also in the brewery. His concept of he eats well and drinks well as well. So his concept of putting the recipe together is like, hey, you know, it's like, what about this beer? Why don't we put just a tiny bit of rye just to give it a little, you know, and he's just thinking creatively. Like brewing is very much like a science, but somehow when I brew with him, it is more of like, huh, experimental. Let's throw in something.
Gotcha.
You know, like a cook, right? Mm-hmm. Not a baker. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
What do you think,
brewing to me is like very much like absolutely. Baking is like making sure that this is this and this. Chris adds a little bit of his flair into there. It's
like,
you've
seen like when moms or grandmothers they make something like this needs a little more salt.
Right.
This needs more like that's what a true brewer would do. Like, hey, this needs a little more of this real quick.
Right.
And that's what you're explaining right now. Uh-huh. Fascinating.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's he did Elefino, Drioma, our Russian Imperial.
Imperial.
Yeah. So there's
that one. Unfortunately.
He's an amazing artist, but there's with the Drioma, there's a great story behind it. It's folklore of this old lady. She would put the kids to bed, and give them sweet dreams, but if you were an adult, she would give you nightmares. So if you look at the label, like in the back, there's like some creepy shadowy hands for the adults, but like these really, you know, really there's teddy bears and stuffed animals and the Russian, I forget those dolls, what they're called, but.
The Russian nesting dolls?
Yes.
There you go, Holly. See if I can pull it up for you. Maybe someone has it, but I think it's one of my favorite winter.
Oh, there you go.
Boom. Mm-hmm. See the lady. You got teddy bears, Russian nesting dolls, candle.
Mm-hmm.
See something that's freaking creeping out in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Now I want one of those. So, do you ever get bored of drinking Red Rock beer?
No. Oh, never. No, 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 no. There's nothing. There is. We've got something for everybody. Twice, sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. We really do have like an amazing portfolio. From double IPAs to single IPAs, a double white rainbow. I mean, a double white IPA. I mean, come on.
I know.
It's like we're always doing a little bit something, you know.
I asked Kevin about the Pilsner you guys do. I told him I love that Pilsner. I really do.
Frolic or?
Yeah, Frolic. So I told Kevin, like, how do you pronounce that? I'm like, Erica, how do you pronounce that?
Pilsner. I would screw it up. I don't know. I mean, I know that it's German. I think Ronaldo pronounces it Freilich, Again, for me, it was like Froelich, but I'm totally pills. Like, you know.
I think I cheated Utah. And I went, the Fro pills. It's the Fro pills.
Fro. Yeah, pills. Fro pills.
It's the pills. But I like that. Because for me, and I know a lot of my brewmaster would agree with me, but if you can make a Pilsner and you can make a Pilsner well,
yes,
it tells you can make a beer. And so that's correct. Why I kind of default to that sometimes because I love what you just poured for us, you know, the Saison Red. Mm-hmm. There's so much going to it. But sometimes when I get home, I just want something crushable, a beer. Right. This, to me, is not crushable. It's enjoying. It's sitting there and just kind of sitting back, relaxing, seizing the moment. But this, but like the Pilsner.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Right.
Six later. Oh.
Porch pounder, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So with Red Rock, I know you've worked with so many people. You work with the co-op. You're well known in the society. Everyone loves you. I recommend to you. But what's a common misconception people have about you when it comes to the brewing industry?
That I'm nice. I'm just kidding. I don't know. What's the common misconception?
What's something that maybe for you, it's like, I'm not really this person, but everyone says I'm, you know what I mean? Like what's something?
That's not my job to worry about what everybody else thinks about me. Right. And I truly believe that, I'm a good person. I don't know. It's like, what's the misconception? It's like, I don't know. It's like that I'm not a bitch because sometimes I just am. I really am. I'm not, I'm fairly private in what I do. I try to keep my boundaries. I think that's good for everyone.
Absolutely.
You know, misconception. I don't know. It's like, I'm not really, I was really like humbled in thinking like, why do you want to talk to me? It's like, I'm not interesting.
But you're no bullshit. I'll call bullshit on that. Cause I think you're answering this question the way I thought you would answer this question in a way where you are you. You are real. You're palpable. Your energy is, you walk into a room, Erica. And I felt it for the first time meeting you walk into a room and I'm like, sunshine. I need this. What the fuck? I need this. Like, it's beautiful. You give off beautiful energy. And are you going to have your days where you're feeling bad? And like you said, like I'm going to be bitchy sometimes. Sure. Mm-hmm. Who isn't?
Right.
Who isn't? Yeah. Even the most, wealthy and famous people, they have those bad days as well. But the thing about you is you're real front and back and you exude that and you're not going to live a fake life at any point.
Correct.
And that's why I think people emanate to you because it's like, oh my God, can I be this lady's friend like right now? That's exactly what I said. And that's why I brought Holly because I'm like, you need to meet Erica. I've met her for like maybe 5 minutes, but you need to meet her right now. And so that's why a huge reason why I brought Holly is because I need the people. I'm just blessed to have this podcast to meet artists and behind the scene people because there's plenty of podcasts and blogs about Utah craft beer. But I'm sitting here trying to showcase behind the scenes.
Right.
There's these secret, nights behind the scenes that are making this shit happen. And you're making this happen. You're making these pumpkin cookie beers happen in the Harmons that it's still out, right? It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. And you're also helping the artist, like you said to Chris, like he's sitting there just kind of like, I picture him just over here hovering, pinch of salt here, pinch of pepper here kind of thing. And that is palpable. And I want this in my life. So I'm not going to waste my time on a Saturday to be like, I'm just going to – I guess I'll meet this Erica, whatever. But, like, when I meet you, it's like, I need you. You're coming on because you are important, and you're helping people, and you have touched people's lives so many that I was recommended to you, and I'm now seeing why. So the fact that you don't have a misconception about you is probably true because you're beautiful inside now. It's so cool, Erica.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. And Holly, I know Holly can say the same. And you have wiener dogs.
I have wiener dogs.
And you have a beautiful garden.
Oh, thank you.
And you have a great family, and you're – and you love to share your aspect in life, and you are just love. And that's what Holly and I, strive for.
Nice.
And so it's like, it just makes sense.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed about you, just, hearing your whole life's journey, I absolutely loved hearing that. And you are always wanting to learn more and improve yourself and do things. And that's something I really admire about you,
Thank you.
The five minutes that I've met you. So I just think you're super awesome.
Well, like forever growing. That's, you know what I mean? And that's the thing. It's like life's an adventure. So let's, instead of letting it defeat us, let's go and join it and invite it and conquer it in a way, right?
Absolutely.
But with that being said, you have one last beer for us.
I have one last beer. And
Tell us the story.
You did ask me this question about like, what's the coolest beer story that you have or experience or whatever, right? So I don't know why, because it's sitting right in my face that I have the story. The story is Partabloom. So with this story of Partabloom, it's a collaboration with New Belgium. This is how this started, right? So Chris, a.k.a. Puffy Combs, used to work at Red Rock. So another, you know, these are all connections. All these things are always connections. But he used to work at our downtown pub at one point in time, and he moved to Fort Collins to work for New Belgium Brewery. Now, he and Kevin Templin kept a really good friendship going and whatever else, and there was a hop shortage. So Puffy came to Salt Lake, and they're like, well, I'd like to do a collaboration. It's like, well, let's do one, but this is very difficult. What do we do? Because we can't get hops or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So Puffy, being like the mastermind superstar that he is, he did a little bit of research on some old recipe, right? Old recipes on before hops. Dandelions were used as
a flavoring, if you will?
More of like preserving.
Gotcha.
So hops was more of a preservant than it was like for flavor, right? So he came up with this. So he and Kevin Templin brewed this. Forgive me, I don't remember the first year that he did it, but and then when I came in to do sales, we were given the opportunity to, so New Belgium had, I don't know if they still have it or not, but they had a series called Lips of Faith. So they would do these collaborations with different breweries and whatever else. And it'd be a one-off. It'd come out in a 22-ounce bottle. Gorgeous bottles that were silk-screened, whatever, there. And because this was a collaboration with Red Rock, myself, Chris Harlan, and Kevin Templin went to New Belgium. Just look for – there it is right there. Yep. We went to New Belgium and got to brew. Oh, maybe that's not it. That's not it. We got to brew the Partabloom on their
system. Oh, wow.
Holy macaroni. Let me tell you, it's like getting your mind blown. Yeah. We went there. We got, you know, there's, you know, a couple of different differences that we do versus what New Belgium can do. So New Belgium didn't have any, maybe just look up Partabloom. They didn't have a Pilsner silo. So Chris Harlan and I were like running over to one side of their building and throwing 50-pound bags of Pilsner malt into a specialty like ton, because it's all like done, you know, it's like with a computer, so to speak. It's like they have all the things that puts in the hot water, puts in the hops, puts in all these things. It's all very automated. So we would have to run, and we did it like their one batch, or like what we made of for this Lips of Faith series for Partabloom. I think it was 5 brews. That's more than we brew in a year.
No way.
Way. Super big, super, you know, super cool.
It's like anxiety filled right there.
A little bit, yeah. It's like a whole palette of dandelion greens. We got in a little bit of trouble. We got a lot of bit of trouble because we just like threw them into the kettle. And what ended up happening is like it got stuck in the rakes. So someone had to come in and literally pull them out. And they're like, you can't do the next brew. Like, so then we having to like hand cut these, like tear these dandelions before we could throw them in, so they wouldn't hang on the racks. It was a full day. I mean, it was a long, stinking day.
Day too.
A very messy day. So I got to brew on the system of New Belgium. That's so cool. That's really freaking cool. At the same time, so New Belgium wasn't in Utah at that time. There was only two states that they were not distributing to. And one was Utah and one was Nebraska. I think those were the two. Nebraska and Utah were the last two of the United States. And going back to when I worked at the Bayou, even let's go even back farther than that. It's like my first GABF was with Red Rock when I was a bartender. So those like fun little stories that City Weekly was writing about got me a free trip to go to GABF.
That's cool.
GABF at that time was probably only, it was less than 100 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It was called, it wasn't craft beer. It was microbrew, right? And Fat Tire had come out that time. And I still have the first poster. It's actually framed in my kitchen.
That's super cool.
Yeah, super cool. So then going back to, you know, working with Bayou's, like now I'm like seeing all these like really cool beers like being brewed everywhere, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, why can't we have Fat Tire? It's like, I remember having that beer and it was like, it was super yummy, delicious. Like we need this in Utah. It's like, yeah, we can't. New Belgium's like, nope. It's because of our DABC. It's all dry. It, dry storage and not cold storage, right? So they really had a thing about like fresh beer and keeping it cold all the time. Well, we,
what are the pros at keeping it cold all the time in the DABC?
Right. Oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, so I vowed at that time that I was going to be the first person that brought New Belgium into Utah. So later, after I get to brew at New Belgium, do I like start thinking? They're like, hey, Erica, I'm like, why? It's like, we need some of this lips of faith so we can do a side by side in Utah. And they're like, well, how do we do this? I'm like, well, we could do this special order, or we could do this, this way. And so I worked with their team, and how to get their beer here. So the very first New Belgium beer was Lips of Faith, Part of Bloom. So I did it.
Congratulations, my friend. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that was another beer story.
Yeah. So that was that's the cool beer story that I totally just like, whatever.
No,
I
mean, way.
I forget about those things, you know, but that was really cool.
No big deal. Mm-hmm. Brush your shoulder off. No big deal. Yeah.
No, but still, it's like, you know, and they figured out how to get into Utah. So now they're here.
And they're here. For, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right. Now we have to try.
Now
this.
I have to try the part of them. Yep. Salud. So this is 2021.
Mm. Ooh.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Every day I swear this beer gets better. So this is this year's. Kevin Davis did some really we got some fresh Chardonnay barrels this year, and because we had so many barrels, he decided to do more wood beer than blended beer. So this is 75% wood barrel aged beer. Beer with only 25% of new beer. So you're getting a lot of that barrel flavor. You're getting a lot of that Brettanomyces that is coming through. We changed up a certain type of yeast strain that comes in that becomes very floral. So this beer alone not only has dandelions in it, but it has grains of paradise. So you like have that really nice, like kind of peppery taste to it. There's not, I mean, it's like the bitterness is perceived very, very low, right? And it should always be. But and then fresh peaches.
There's peaches in this?
Oh yeah, babe.
Wow.
And then also what we do, what New Belgium couldn't do is like we hand roast our pilsner our pilsner malt at our downtown kitchen in the wood fire pizza. We throw pilsner malt and toast it.
No way.
Uh-huh. So again, when I say handcrafted beer, I truly mean handcrafted beer.
Yeah, I feel like this beer is something I've never tasted before. I've tasted a lot of beers, right, you know, with David and his podcast, but this is something that I've never really tasted
before.
Peaches
at the very end, I love it. By the way, I'm getting it now. Mm-hmm. Peaches at the end. Oh my, because I've never given you a Brett beer, some of the Brettanomyces in it.
Yes, so that sour perception that you're tasting and then kind of that nose that you're smelling. Sometimes it, you know, at the very beginning, it's like most people.
I hate this beer because I am now, have you ever heard of an alcoholic? I think I became one officially. I just want everyone to know right now. Oh my God, this is stupid. I hate Red Rock. I feel like I opened a Trefontaine almost. Like it's like, seriously, it's like something. Yes. It's like, oh my God, what? I would pay $90 a bottle for this.
Mm-hmm. And it only comes out once a year. So it's like,
and we were out of town the day you guys were dipping. I was so disappointed, but I've never tried this before and I'm blown.
Oh, what?
Eric, I'm telling you, I am admitting my sins on this podcast right now, but I haven't tried this before and where the fuck have I been? Like, right. This is, I hate Red Rock. I think one of my favorite memories, I'll ask myself this question, I guess.
Yeah.
One of my favorite memories with Holly is actually, we have a dear friend, Josh and Louie. Louie's mother is from Amsterdam. Louie's from Amsterdam, but her name is Mick. And she asked, hey, Holly and David, would you take me to brunch one day? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. We went to Fashion Place, Red Rock for brunch. And I remember it was when I just started the podcast. And I was just starting, like, I wasn't trying to be a beer snob, but I was trying to break down every beer I was tasting. I remember Holly and Mick. Mick wanted a beer that was more Dutch-like. So I gave her something that I thought was more Dutch-like. And then I sat here with, like, five beers to try and taste beers from Red Rock. And I remember, I'm like, I hate how Red Rock is so good. Like, I want to know why they're so good. And I'm slowly, as the years have gone by, I'm slowly figuring out, I've never once dissed on Red Rock. I'm like, ask Holly. I'm like, I love going. If we were going to Salt Lake, we need a place to eat, Red Rock.
Nice.
Like just go. Because I know if I suggest Red Rock, I know not only will I get good food, but I will get great beer. Not good beer, great beer. And it makes me happy because I'm sitting here trying to advocate Utah craft beer. Loud enough where not everyone hears, but everyone in Utah hears it because it's my secret too. Like I don't want everyone to come in here and like just take over. But and Mikey Rydell at Utah Beer Blog said it best. He said Utah can put up a battle with beer in the country as well. It's not just everyone's here and be like, hey, Utah beer is watered down, it's dog shit. Bullshit. We have enough medals. We have great brewers here, and we are kicking ass. And if you think Utah beer is shitty and sucks? By all means, think that because it's more for us.
Right.
Seriously.
Agreed.
And I'm sitting here, and we have great breweries and brewers here in Utah. And this right here is just reminding me of why I continue to do this. Because, like, holy shit, you can do great things. And, like, those weeds on your lawn, dandelions, you know, things you always, you know, bitch about the yellow ones, and you blow on them and everything, and they're weeds. Yeah, they can make great beer, too.
Yep, absolutely.
It blows my mind.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Erica, thank you so much for sharing this today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
God. I wonder if this has I'm surprised that this has, because now this is one of my favorite memories right now. At the moment, we're having a great memory. Remember that one podcast, babe, we had with Erica Palmer? Yes. Like, it literally is one of my favorite episodes right now because of this memory. And this happens to be a memory of yours that, you know, going back, tracing it back to Red Rock, and Red Rock has like this special, I don't know, a pull.
Yes.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Erica, for reals, I don't know. I know now why everyone keeps telling me to come and interview you and talk to you. Because I have this, Holly and I have this pull towards you because you speak with nothing but passion and your heart is forward. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting here like, here it is. If you don't want it, that's cool. It's not like, you don't want it, fuck you. It's not guarded. It's like, okay, cool.
Right.
And you keep moving and walk around. Like, that's what it is. And like I said, you remind me of one of our best friends, Erin. Because she's the same way you are. And that's why we're like flies. We go to her because she recharges us and she makes us feel better. She really does because you do the same thing. And I now know why all the brewers I've talked to are like, you have to interview Erica Palmer. When I talk to Mikey, he's like, she's like my sister wife. She's like the best.
Oh, I am like, definitely a sister wife.
Like he's like, you're what? Can I stay 5 more minutes? Please wait for her.
Yes. And
unfortunately, he had to be somewhere. But like, he was like, I'm going to wait for her. And every time, like, hey, David, who are you interviewing this weekend? I'm like, Erica Palmer. What? Like, so Erica, I want you to know, even though I know you for such a short amount of time, that you've touched so many people in your long history in Utah craft beer. I'm doing this podcast to showcase artists and beautiful people in this industry like you. And the fact that you gave me time out of your day to come to my podcast and really sit here to talk about these beautiful stories, your beautiful life, your awesome family. I can't wait to meet Jason. I can't wait to come to your garden. I can't wait to meet your wiener dogs. The fact that you have this pure soul and heart, do me a favor, please, and never fucking give that up. Yeah. Never stop doing that. Continue to be you because, oh my God, it's palpable when you walk into a goddamn room. If I could sit here and I walk into a room and people are like, I don't know what that is, but someone's in this room. And it's because of me, I'd be like, oh, I'd be honored. And the fact that I felt you walk into a Red Rock brewery that's so loud, machines going, things pumping, beer flowing, people talking. But I knew when you guys walked in because you have that ambiance. Please continue to listen to that. Lead with that. And I'm so excited to see what else you do with Red Rock. Like, not just more specials, but like I can give you ideas too. Like, we'll talk on the side behind closed doors. But
let's do
it. There's other things I want you guys to do, and I think I can help you out, and you can help me out. And this friendship we have, us three, is going to continue.
Whenever, yes, please.
Whenever I see you in Salt Lake or at your house or at beer festivals, we're giving the biggest hug. We're all sharing something. We're all drinking something, and we're going to continue. That's the thing. And is there anything that I can do through this podcast to help you, Erica, out and you, Red Rock, out at the same time?
Oh, you're doing it already. Really, truly. One, I just want to say I'm honored and just like, I don't know, I get a little heated up. I don't like talking about myself, but let's do this. How about you do this? Continue what you're doing and educating people about the brewing industry. You know, sometimes digging deep, you might have to, you know, dig a little deeper to expose some bullshit, because that's what we're here for. Sometimes, I mean, I don't know. Bullshit has a place sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And maybe we just want to grow. So you helping me grow, understanding that these people think about me this way, which, again, like I said, it's like, it's not my job to worry about what other people think, but it's really quite an enlightening, fills my heart. So keep doing what you're doing, educating, tasting beer, try new beer, and bring Holly all the time.
I need to drink more beer.
Yeah. Bring Holly all the time. I sincerely don't have like a roadmap for anything ever. It's like, let's just do, right? Let's continue to do.
Live in the moment.
Yeah.
Be consistent, I think. That's the biggest thing I thought was like, let's continue.
Yes.
Right? And whoever wants to listen, listens. But like at the same time, if you listen, I hope it's quality. I hope it's
absolutely
of intent, good intent, right?
Yes.
And
all
there's no
good
ill
intentions.
Feelings. Like I've never once tried to shit on someone or try to hate us on this podcast. It's all about trying to grow. And like, again, the Utah beer scene is stupid. Like, it's ridiculously cool. If you haven't appreciated it yet, you're missing out. And if you want to choose to miss out, that's your loss.
Correct.
And it's our gain. It really is, because they're, and you were even saying like I can't wait to meet Chris, because I'm tasting his art visually through his concepts and physically, because I'm tasting his beer. I'm like, oh my God, like, this is ridiculous. And like, if I can make a beer, being a brewer, like if I can make a beer anywhere close to what the people I interview, I'm like, you know what? I can call myself a true brewer.
Right.
And I'm like, yes, that's like a goal of mine. Like, yes. Like, I would love someone to grab my can or bottle and be like, this beer is fucking awesome. And I want this every time I go to the pool or every time I come home.
Right.
I'm like, I like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that'd be really cool if I can, you know, educate someone. But at the same time, Erica, thank you so much for the kind words and for sharing your experience and taking time out of your busy Saturday and your busy life to come share with Holly and I on this podcast. It's been very awe-inspiring and it's very, very eye-opening, and I cannot wait to see whatever memories we share together.
Oh, yes. We're going to create a lot.
I'm down. I'm so down. But do you guys have anything else for us today?
That's it.
Bam, thanks so much for being here as a co-host. Thank you,
Holly.
Of course.
I do adore her, of course.
Anytime. I'll be here.
But Erica, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll do this again, okay? Please. We're going to do this next.
Okay.
Within a year, let's do this again. Promise?
Okay. Yeah. Maybe from our garden. Can we do this?
Can we record? We're going to ask Corey. Corey, we got to go up to Salt Lake. We got to go in the garden. We'll feed you. That's fine.
Yep.
And we'll take care of you. Sound good?
Okay. Great.
Until the next beverage, my friends.
Cheers.
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 This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.